Treasury Star Parade. Under the personal direction of William A. Bacher, with Henry Hull, David Brookman and his orchestra, and an all-star radio cast in Violet Atkins and Ruth Adams Knight's stirring radio drama, V for Victory. All the scenes in this drama are taken from the record.
This is Henry Hull, ladies and gentlemen, with another of the programs brought to you by the Treasury Department. Today, we tell you a little of the invisible army of Europe. Never in the history of mankind have so many whole countries banded together against an aggressor as they have today. The Chetniks in the Yugoslav mountains, the fishermen in the fjords of Norway, the herdsmen in Greece, the students in Prague, all the little people who have been betrayed by Quislings, hounded by Gestapos, flogged and beaten and murdered by stormtroopers, but never, never conquered. This invisible army speaks in the million whispering voices. It hides in shadows. It is an army without faces. Its battle cry is in the air, invincibly defiant.
Stop!
Englishman ran in here just now, boy. You know that to shoot an Englishman means death to a Belgian. Where is he?
I saw no one. No one came in.
You know?
Liar!
Oh!
We will see for ourselves.
Please. My mother in the bedroom. She...
Well?
She has the typhus.
Typhus?
Then why is there no sign on the door?
We have no money for a doctor.
Then how do you know it is typhus?
Because... sister died of it. Tonight, my mother may die.
Du lieber Gott.
That was a good trick, boy. They would never have known me under this nightcap.
It was no trick. I lied only about the time. Last month, my mother and sister died of the typhus.
Oh, poor lad.
The Germans would not let the doctor come here. Because my sister slapped a German for something.
The victory theme of the invisible army. Hide the enemies of Germany. Help them escape. All over the continent, this edict went out from the Nazis.
Whoever aids an Englishman in escaping will be shot.
But the threats of death hadn't stopped the people of Belgium. It did not stop the others. Holland, Poland, you remember Warsaw, beautiful Warsaw. Now, it is a city of the dead. People who had escaped the firing squad and the slow death of concentration camps faced death in a thousand other ways. No coal, no warm clothing, no food but black bread and potatoes. But their rationing of fear was large. Fear hounding them, dogging their footsteps with the whistles of the stormtroopers.
Martha.
Oh, Jan. Those whistles. What happened?
Another roundup, Martha. Almost every day now. They deliberately torment us to turn on them. And then someone threw a stone at the stormtrooper, and they began dragging in everyone around. Girls, too.
You mean to send to...
Yes, to the German camps. Thank God our Marie is too little to... Who is that?
Mary...
What's wrong with her?
Oh, Jan, Mary came home from school, hardly able to walk.
What have they done to Marie Marta? Answer me. If they have hurt her, I...
They may be listening, Jan. Today, something happened at the school. Something terrible. The German police came to the school. They locked all the doors.
But you have no right to do this. These children are already undernourished.
Craig, do you wish to spend the rest of your days in a concentration camp?
No.
Then shut your mouth. Now, you children, line up there. Boys on one side, girls on the other. Good, good. Jungen, these men are German doctors. If you behave, they will not hurt you. German soldiers are dying. They need blood, transfusions of healthy blood, like yours. To all of you has come the great honor of giving a pint of your blood for the brave soldiers of the Reich.
No, I will not.
Not to a German.
Oh, you will not, eh? Then we shall have to take it from you. And those who resist will be whipped afterwards. Now, doctor, I will hold this one. Stop fighting, you! Now begin, doctor.
All the grimness and determination of the invisible army of Europe is in those last few bars of music, which will one day avenge the weak sobbing of Jan Kowalewski's 9-year-old daughter. For they do not lose hope, these people, no. They believe it, they think it, they read it in the secret newspapers beginning to roll off the presses in underground Poland. The people of Poland could tell you what it means to print a newspaper in a Nazi-controlled country.
It means death to the printer.
Or what it means to distribute them.
Death if caught.
Or to be found reading one.
Death.
But the printing presses roll on. In cellars, back rooms, in caves, the presses keep rolling. In Poland today, there are nearly 100 shouting their mockery, their hatred, their defiance of a Nazi.
Print this. A band of 25 Poles operate in the Opal district. They shoot every German soldier or officer on sight.
A reward of 2,000 marks has been offered, but they will never be caught. There are no Quislings in Poland.
Print this. Polish engineer forced to drive train of German soldiers deliberately crashes into train on siding. 300 German soldiers killed with heroic Polish engineer.
Unprint this. We Poles have nothing to lose but our lives. We've been told we are to be exterminated by the Nazis. Therefore, we will die killing Nazis.
Master, printing press, it's in the villa.
Use the machine gun. Shoot the printers.
But did that silence the voice of free people all over Nazi-dominated Europe? Or stifle their defiance? Oh, no. In the village of Dieuze in occupied France, the women were ordered to bring all warm clothing and shoes to the confiscation center. But some of them stole back the clothes. One was caught.
Yvonne Caron, you're up the confiscation center. Where are the clothes you stole?
I stole. Our children are starving and freezing. You took their clothes and food to Central Germany. To other women's children.
We are the Herrenvolk, not thieving French slaves. You do not seem to understand that all of France now belongs to Adolf Hitler.
Even the bit of white bread Mary Dufresne threw to her crippled son, you had thrown into prison.
The sentry called once, twice. Instead of answering, she ran away. How was he to know? Might have been dynamite she threw in there with the bread.
Dynamite! Dynamite! Dynamite and bread. Mary Dufresne's son was starving. She threw him bread over the prison wall. You sentry shot her in the back, and you speak of...
Oh, stop it, you fool. We've had enough. We have called the elite guards to take care of you ladies of the earth tonight. Do you know what happens when our elite guards take care of women? Girls? Yes. I see you know.
It means that after tonight, no French woman will laugh in the youth.
From the bitter silence of shamed French women, the outraged pride and dignity of France was growing this invisible army. And now let's look at Czechoslovakia. In the famous Skoda works, a German foreman speaks to the oldest employee.
16 of our officers will be here in a few moments to inspect the plant, Vacek. Is your crane in good order?
It will work perfectly, Herr Hauptmann.
Good, good. I trust you, Vacek. You are the only one in the plant who has had no accidents to slow up production. Our Führer will reward you.
You see, Edward, they trust me. They will reward me.
But this will cost you your life, Vacek.
I'm an old man. I've lived long enough. 15, 16 Germans at once. It is a privilege.
Vacek, goodbye. We will never forget.
No. Never forget, Edward. Spanners thrown in the works. Sulfur and zinc to spoil the steel mixture. Graphite under the fuses to make duds of bombs. They will never win the war with our help, the damned Nazis. They are coming, Edward. Remember, when I whistle the victory notes, our men must move back from the cauldron.
And here, gentlemen, is a giant crane which lifts the cauldron of molten lead. See, it lifts and deposits.
Oh, yeah. Fine. But that old man working the crane, is he trustworthy? So many Czechs are traitors. Heinrich Himmler himself says we are dealing with a land of 10 million traitors and saboteurs.
Old Vacek is no traitor. He is too stupid to do anything but obey orders. Once the cauldron swing up, over.
Vacek! Vacek, careful! The cauldron is slipping! Run!
Print this. Old Vacek willingly gave up his life so that 16 of the hated Nazis might die, so that there might be a chance for his brave young Czechoslovakia to live again.
And print this. All over Europe, men and women and children go willingly to meet their death, so that their cherished right to speak freely, think freely, and live freely will not be lost to those they leave behind.
And print this. This is the invisible army that will one day destroy you, Adolf Hitler. Nor tanks, nor bombs, nor firing squads can halt its invincible onslaught. It speaks every language, Croatian and Dutch and Norwegian, French and Polish and Greek. Wherever it marches, with the power of your hate in its body, no Nazi soldier is safe. No country conquered, no war over, only when you are destroyed with all your destroyers, will this army cease from its warring. Only then will men forget to hate and remember again life's goodness. Only then will women smile again and children come out of their dark hiding and liberty lift its lost face from the mists and the darkness.
There is just one thing to add. To win this war, every true American must answer his war bond quota call. It calls for at least 10% of your total income, 10% of whatever you earn, invested in war savings, bonds, and stamps. At least 10%, more if you can. We must work. We must fight. We must save. Remember, every dollar you invest in war savings bonds, you are investing in the future security of America. This is your country. Keep it yours.